Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri, welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm very happy to have with me today on University Matters on Campus FM, Dr. Sarah Kushkiri. Just the usual word about my guest. She's a medical doctor, assistant lecturer and researcher within the Department of Anatomy at the University's Faculty of Medicine and Surgery. After graduation as a medical doctor, she decided to further pursue her special interest in the condition of diabetes by following a postgraduate diploma in diabetes. She graduated with a distinction from the University of Cardiff in Wales and then continued her studies as a master's student in advanced diabetes with the same university. At the same time, Dr. Kushkiri started working on her PhD proposal with the University of Malta, which was accepted last June. Now, after a year of hard work and preparation, she's about to start the field work related to the present study, and that's what we're going to be talking about with her today. Welcome to the studio, Dr. Kushkiri.
Thank you.
Obviously, we're going to be talking about diabetes, which is your special area of research. And I think perhaps we ought to sort of set the scene a little bit by asking the question, what is diabetes? What happens in the body when somebody gets diabetes? Obviously, you're not going to go into the medical details, but give us a little bit of an idea what type of disease diabetes is.
So diabetes is a very complex disease. We cannot really describe it in one word. We can classify it into two different types. There is type 1 diabetes and type 2. Type 1 is when the body starts to reject its function, its pancreas, and so there is lack of insulin production. In fact, this is called insulin dependent because all the persons who suffer from type 1 diabetes will require insulin injections immediately. We usually associate this type of disease with children, although it is not just children. There might be adults, young adults, who actually develop type 1 diabetes later on in their lives.
And is that a kind of diabetes that will continue for the rest of their
lives?
Yes.
Once it starts, it never stops. It can get worse, it can be controlled, but it can never go back to normal. Even type 2. Once it starts, you can control it, but it can never revert back. Although, to be 100% clear, there is a type of what's called pre-diabetes, which is actually my favorite subject, because it's something where we actually can do something. We can stop diabetes from actually going further to full-blown. But this only occurs in type 2. So type 2 diabetes usually occurs in adult, does not require insulin immediately, because here it is the pancreas getting slow. It is slowing down from its function, still producing some insulin, but not as much as the body requires. That is type 2. But type 2 we can divide into like another two sections. There is the pre-diabetes, insulin impaired fasting tolerance and impaired glucose tolerance. And then if it's not controlled or picked up, because these persons who actually develop this pre-diabetes are asymptomatic. They do not have any symptoms, so it can be missed unless they do regular checkups or type of screening. Whereas when you develop type 2, then you get the symptoms, but unfortunately it will be a bit too late to do anything to stop it. You have then to control it. It is only pre-diabetes, something which I will be focusing when publishing the results and seeing the risk factors. We're going to talk about it very soon. That if we pick up these people, these pre-diabetics, through lifestyle or just a pill every day, we can actually control it or even revert back to normal.
So at this point, I think the next question sort of comes naturally. What are going to be the aims of the study? But perhaps you could tell us who is helping you to make this happen, really, this study, this survey?
Yes, well, this project started around 2 years ago between myself and my supervisor, Dr. Julia Mamo, who is also the head of public health from university side, and now he's also the chairman of our steering committee for this project. Along the way, we then recruited specialists. We have a consultant diabetologist, Prof. Josen Vassallo. We have, from genetic side, Prof. Alex Felice, who's helping with the genetics protocol. We have Dr. Chris Barbar from pathology. And we also have Dr. Neville Calle from the statistics point of view of this project. So that is our steering committee, along with Dr. Mamo and myself. Also, I would like to show my great appreciation to Parliament Secretary Mr. Chris Fearn for his great support in this study, as well as providing us with the barrage and health centers where we're going to have our appointments for all these people we're going to be calling health there. Then we had to reach out for financial help, which was difficult, but we reached our budget. First of all, I would like to thank University of Malta, who was a great help, especially the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery, as well as the University Research Trust, the RIDT, who also gave a helping hand. Then, with regards to our major sponsor, it's Alf Mitzi Foundation, and we also have Atlas Insurance, who gave a good contribution to this project. I would like also to say that there are other small private industries who all gave their part, some financially and some with means of vouchers, which we'll be giving to all participants as a thank you for, you know, coming to spend some time with us.
Let's go through the main aims of the study now.
So there are various aims. The first aim is, one, updating the prevalence, the frequency of diabetic type 2, diabetes type 2 in Malta. This has been done some time ago. It was done in 1981 by the WHO, and they got the statistic at that time. Now, as you know, we have evolved, our culture has changed, our dietary has changed, our, you know, sedentary lifestyle has, you know, came into place, and running around as we usually were in the old days. And so I'm sure it has increased. But apart from that, we're going to also measure the prevalence of obese people. Something we say, you know, there are more now obese people. And that's something we're going to calculate. Also, something that hasn't been done is calculating the frequency of high blood pressure within our population. Apart from that, we're also studying the amount of smoking and tobacco and physical activity performed in our country. That is just one aim, the prevalence. The second aim is actually seeing which are the risk factors, what are the links, correlations, which are leading to such a high diabetes prevalence in Malta. We know it's high, but we don't know what is causing it. We have ideas. We can take international guidelines, what they're saying is are risk factors, but in Malta, since we are so versatile, we have changed so much, are they the same? Is it maybe genetics which is actually causing our high prevalence, or is it dietary, sedentary lifestyle? That we're going to discover through this study. Also, to sum it up, what we're going to do is a risk score. This is like an ethics sheet where both doctors and the individuals can actually, at the comfort of their home, see whether they have a risk of develop diabetes and obesity. There are a lot of international risk scores, but there is none for the Maltese population. Again, it needs to be specific. We can use other international, but it's not specific for our population, which hopefully after this project we're going to have, you know, one dedicated for us.
This is an interesting point, that we don't seem to have exact numbers, that we've been working on estimates and perhaps overseas examples that may not necessarily be appropriate for the Maltese islands. So we don't really know how many people actually smoke, or what is the amount of alcohol that people consume.
But now that we're going to have the population, we might as well ask them and have an update on all those factors. What I can say is on obesity and high blood pressure, there was a small pilot study done by the Health Information Research Department in 2010. It was a pilot study, so the sample population was small. Now that we're going to have a larger population, we can actually have more accurate results.
And you're going to be dealing with also people who are undiagnosed and also probably people that are diagnosed. So you're going to sort of be catching both sides of the story.
Most likely we're going to have diabetics, which we're going to diagnose. Because how the system is going to work, we have 4,000 randomized people living both in Malta and Gozo. So these are not diabetics. They are, you know, people
randomly chosen.
Mm-hmm. They were given to me this randomized fashion according to gender, so male, female, age, 18 to 70 years, and locality. So in other words, we're going to go from one locality to another and examine. First, of course, we invite, and then if they accept, we're going to examine these people from all localities, from all ages, between the age group, of course, between 18 and 70, and all genders. And then we'll be able to say, this is representative of us.
What has always interested me when the subject of diabetes comes up is that it really seems to know no social boundaries at all. I mean, it just goes straight across all strata of society.
True. Why this occur, I cannot tell you. Maybe after this study, we'll say why. But it is such a vast disease. It doesn't just affect having high blood pressure, but it affects your heart, it affects your eyes, your nerves, your kidneys. It is a very complex disease. So in order to try to get the grips of why this is causing such a big problem, we need to find the risk factors. In our case, it's the Maltese risk factors, which are causing diabetes. And I have to say that diabetes and obesity are, unfortunately, walking side by side. And so we're going to try to investigate both of them, you know, at the same time, apart from the other risk factors, because it is crucial to try to prevent more people, our future generation, to getting this unfortunate, destructive disease, unfortunately.
What about the fear factor? Because very often when people are invited to participate, in the back of their mind they say, well, yes, I should know. Intellectually, you know, I should really know whether I'm diabetic or pre-diabetic, but actually I don't really have any symptoms at the moment, so I'll just put it off. I mean, how successful do you think you're going to be with the survey with these people?
I hope we don't find those people. What we're doing is, first of all, we're promoting the study. We're telling this is for your own good. It's not just at the end getting a result, but we are offering all of those who've been chosen a free health checkup, which consists of taking blood pressure, so seeing how is their blood pressure, is it high, is it low. We're going to even check their BMI, their waist and hip circumference. All these results we'll be giving them at the same time when we examine them. So they're going to have everything written down. So if they would like to check it with their doctor, or would like to have, maybe they have a sheet where they're regulating their blood pressure, this can be added to their medical history. Also, apart from that, we have a small interview, a questionnaire, asking them how many hours they do of exercise each week, what do they eat during a typical week, if they have any known diseases, if they had a family history of especially diabetes. And then to finish off, we have blood taking for fasting blood glucose and lipid profile to see what is their glucose within the fasted state. I'm saying fast because we are asking all participants to come 9 hours fasted to see how is their blood glucose, sugar. When they are starved, it's basically the international protocol. That is how you can actually have an idea of how their glucose is, and also to have an idea how their lipid profile and the fats within the blood is. You need to be fasted as well. All results, as I already said, even the blood, will be given back to participants. The blood, of course, they need to go to the lab and be worked, but they will receive their blood results back home. If there's something abnormally which is needs immediate medical care, we're not only going to call the participant, but we are asking them to give us the doctor's name and contact detail if possible, and we call their family doctor. Mrs. X have very high blood pressure. She needs attention now. We don't want to just take the information that is not our policy or positive. We are here to give you a free health checkup, and we're going to give you all the results, everything back, because after all, it is your health, and we want to help you.
So it's going to be transparent.
Everything is transparent.
And people will be able to do something about it if they want to, and you're going to encourage them to do that.
Of course, we would like everyone to attend, even those who are afraid. Something which I appreciated last weekend, we had the pilot study. It was in Attar. And I had one particular person who was very afraid of taking blood, but... And after talking to her, she was like, okay, let's try. You know, her husband was next to her, I was next to her, and slowly took the blood. But, you know, and then at the end, she was like, thank you, I needed it. So even those who are slightly afraid, at the back of their minds, they know that they should be doing a screening, especially knowing that I'm sure that everyone from has a family member or cousin, an aunt, or maybe a mother, who unfortunately suffer from diabetes, so our risks are high. Of course, the risk factors, we're going to know them after the study, but they will be helping not just themselves, because they're having a free health check after all, but will be helping our whole nation to actually try to fight this disease and prevent it.
It's important that people look at the list of possible risk factors, obesity, smoking, overindulgence in alcohol, and if they say, well, I don't smoke, and I don't drink either, and they say, well, so it's not to me. I think one ought to make this point, perhaps, that even if you have one, or actually none of the risk factors that are on that list, you should still try it.
If you're very healthy, you know, no smoking, you eat healthy diet, doesn't mean that you do not have diabetes. That is where genetics, you know, steps in, because most likely we have a high genetic element. We've already been saying we have a high genetic element. With this study, we're going to actually prove it within our Maltese population. So you can be as healthy as ever, but still you might be suffering from diabetes or pre-diabetes, of course.
What about the benefits at the end of the day? Obviously, we're talking about these individuals who are going to benefit because they're going to have personal knowledge. They're going to find out, hopefully, that they don't have diabetes, or they might be pre-diabetic, or they might find out that they are diabetic and are able to do something about it. So that's helping the individual. But in the sense of the country, Malta, Gozo, as a whole, this survey has a wider picture. How do you think it's going to help Malta, really?
At the end, it's going to help in a lot of aspects, in the public health aspects, of course. First of all, we'll know how much we have people who suffer from diabetes, are obese, have high blood pressure, the amount of physical activity that we actually do. Our diet, is it still Mediterranean, which I doubt, but we have to prove it. That can be tackled then from a promotional from health promotional side. Even it will be the basis of preventive policies and strategies which needs to be done with regards to diabetes and obesity. That is how we're going to try to stop these diseases from actually, you know, infecting all of us, especially the new generation that are coming behind us. Something else we're going to hopefully achieve is see the financial aspect out of it. We're going to prove whether screening everyone is more economical than actually getting diabetes and complications, and then we have to deal with the complications. Complications of diabetes is not just costly for the government and NHS, but it's also costly for the patient. What do I mean? It's not money, but they might lose their eyesight, they might lose a kidney, they might lose a limb, you know, because of diabetes. If unfortunately, diabetes doesn't present early. The symptoms, usually it's, you know, already sets in and there's an amount of complications already present. So if we are able to pick up, ideally pre-diabetes, it's this stage, as I explained, it's, we can do something and we actually stop it. Or at least the beginning of diabetes, we might be actually doing a good deed to all our nation, even financially, from having it, you know, destroy our lives, unfortunately.
And economically, I suppose, there's always an economic angle to the thing. There must be work days lost, people unable to continue in the job that they were working in.
Yes, unfortunately, even going for outpatients, because they have the visits. When they're diabetic, you need to have the follow-up, you know, months or yearly, it depends on the control of diabetes. That is hours missed from work. If you have, hopefully they don't have, you know, an acute attack, high glucose or hypoglycemia, when the sugar goes down again, if the patient is feeling unwell, they have to go home, might even be admitted to hospital, depends on the severity. That is, again, loss of productivity at work, and also increase in admission rate in hospital. These people who are diabetic, unfortunately, heal very slowly when compared to the normal non-diabetic. So if, let's say, I need an operation and I'm not diabetic, I might take 5 days and I'm off home. Diabetics might take 10, 15 days because the healing time is very slow and they're also very prone to infections. Or let's say I need a TKR, it's a total knee replacement, I'm non-diabetic, I have my replacement today, in about 2 days' time, I'll be discharged. Mm-hmm. But diabetics take a longer period of time, apart from having to take antibiotics. They all take antibiotics, to be honest, but they need, you know, stronger to prevent any bug from actually making the situation worse. So yes, picking up diabetics and being controlled will save a lot of financial costing, as well as our well-being, their well-being, whoever's diabetic.
Do we have anecdotal evidence as to the prevalence in men and women? Do we know whether more men get...
Usually it's females, which are... Although there might be small bias, females tend to come to surveys like this more than males. So there might be a little bit of bias. But the 1981 survey did show that there were more females than males. But then, of course, something like this, what we can do is divide the population, not just in males and females, but age groups. So say, I'm inventing now, that 60 plus, you know, there's more males than females, but between 50 and 60, there's more females. And something which, you know, would be interesting and even important when we're doing preventive measurements.
In fact, that's my next question was going to be about the way in which you're going to action the results that you're going to get. At the moment, we have what seems to be quite a successful breast screening exercise, and which is picking up women between a certain age. Everyone gets informed about the screening. Is that going to be the way forward, or will there be some other way, perhaps, of approaching this challenge after you've done the survey, or will you have to wait for the results to see what might be best?
To be 100% honest, I think everyone should get at least once in when they get a certain age a blood for glucose. That is, but of course, that is right now, it is up to the doctor, the person, or up to the individual to actually go forward. Listen, it's time, I need to do a blood glucose test. If it is implemented as the breast cancer you mentioned to everyone, of course, it will be a bit cost for the government, but then we have to see which is more economical, doing a screening or letting them get the disease. After the study, we're going to get to know exactly what are the risk factors. Is it, you know, between a certain age they're getting mostly diabetes, and then all the results will, of course, will be published, and up to the policymakers to use our information and do an appropriate screening at the end. But that is something we would like to be involved in a way that we're providing the evidence based about our, it's already been called our national disease way back in the 90s. I'm sure now it's more, but we have to prove that also. The idea is there, that from this study we're going to say, listen, the diabetes usually starts, I'm inventing here, from 35. So ideally, from 35 onwards, at least once a year, these ladies and gentlemen will get more fasting blood glucose during the 35s, and we'll move according to the result. This, of course, this is me, you know, hypothesizing.
It's yes, zero, of course. These are policies that then will be
but something for the policymakers
out of your hands,
actually.
You will be giving them the evidence, and then obviously it's the policymakers
exactly.
who are deciding on that. It's also a question of mindset. I remember when I went to live in Italy when I was young, and I've been living in England, and never heard the word blood test, actually. I think I didn't hardly knew what it meant. And I remember that my landlady used to say, the time has come to go for my
analisi, and I couldn't understand what this analisi was. Then I realised that it's quite an Italian mindset to go for blood tests on a regular basis. And not only she, but other people used to say, oh, this month I'm going for le analisi. And we don't have that mindset, I think. Certainly in England, we never had it. And here in Malta, not either.
It's mixed. Well, there are people who actually come, you know, because I need the blood test of 6 months. You know, every 6 months, some people do, some people just, you know, I don't feel anything. I don't need it, you know, I'm busy. I'm not bothered. Unfortunately, we need that mindset, yes, because some diseases, some non-communicable diseases like diabetes, are not picked up because they are asymptomatic. So if we screen, we can able to pick up these and prevent all the late onset complications, you know, follow. But we need education, we need awareness, which I'm very happy we're quite aware nowadays. Even during this past month, there's been a lot of awareness around diabetes, especially with the development of a new strategy by the government, which is something good. So people are getting more aware. Listen, diabetes is real, diabetes can affect me. I need to be aware. I need to do something about it.
It can be controlled.
It can be controlled. You can, you know, actually some can actually stop it, as I told you, but you need to be quick to pick it up. Some people then get afraid that I might lose a limb, I might not see, and when they get scared, then they do something. Unfortunately, that is not the ideal mentality, but some people go to the doctor for the blood because their neighbor, you know, lost an eye, you know. It would be very nice that everyone is aware and actually, you know, tests for these unfortunate diseases.
To sum up, really, we've said what you would like to achieve with this study, and I'm sure there are a lot of people listening today whose interest will be sparked by this interview. I know you've got a website that people can go to, and a Facebook page,
and Twitter.
All the modern technology to go with the survey. So perhaps you could tell us the URL of the website.
So it's www.sahtech.com. Facebook again, Sahtech, and Twitter again, it's Sahtech, so it's difficult to miss.
There they're going to find all the information
exactly.
And updates on the
survey.
Well, I definitely wish you a lot of luck with the survey. I hope it goes well, and we'll reap the benefits that you're hoping for. Thank you so
much, Dr. Kushki. Thanks very much for having me.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.